know if we're missing anybody or people that went to. Yeah, we'll get. Well, you're good. You can sit, like. Okay, I think we have. This is nice. We got all together this time. That's really nice. I think anybody we're missing? Like if somebody went to the bathroom or something. So if not, we'll just get started. I think we're good. Anybody here to fix this in case it doesn't work? All right. So we'll get started. I asked Ms. Renee to lead us in a word of prayer.
Shall we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you as ladies, as young Christians, as older Christians, as in between. Help us to be the light in this very dark world. Help us to learn to love not only our fellow Christians, but those of the world and bring them to you. Give us the guidance and strength that we need to get through each and every day. Whatever part of life that we're in, help us, guide us, strengthen us. We love you, and we appreciate your Son, sacrifice for us. In his holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Sorry, ladies. I was wondering if I should wait longer or not, so that's my bad. All right. Okay, so the lesson we had today was teach me to love my fellow Christians. So who wants to kind of like start us off and tell us what that means to you? Like if you were to say, hey, I'm to love my fellow Christians, what does that mean to you? Renee?
Sometimes it can be a challenge because there may be people that are Christians that we think they are all way off. I don't care for the way they do this or whatever. And it's a struggle. It's like, I love them, I care about them, but ooh, could they get this crooked? You know, and it can be a struggle.
Right, okay. Definitely, sometimes it can be a struggle. So we're all different people, right? We're from different backgrounds. We have different upbringings. And there's, you know, things that we like or dislike. Or maybe we do things different ways. And sometimes, you know, sometimes that can rub people maybe, right? So it's kind of overcoming that. What else does that mean to y'all? Wilna?
Sometimes it's my perception, and that's not always true. When I was Chuck and I first got married, we lived in Longview. It was his first place to preach. And there was a couple there, and I really admired her. She was an older woman my age now. But I wouldn't have her over because I wanted everything to be perfect. You know, I thought everything was just perfect. Well, she invited us over one Sunday night, and she had spaghetti on an iron skillet on the stove and handed us a paper plate and said, y'all come get your meal. And I had a whole different perception of her than what she was really like. And that's, you know, sometimes we do that. We can't get close to somebody because we can't. They're so perfect, and come to find out, they put their pants on one leg at a time, just like
women. Right. Like everyone is a human. Sometimes you may think something is a certain way, and it's really not that way. But it's okay either way, right? Whether that person decides, hey, here's kind of how I run my house, and when I have people over, we're just totally casual, or whether it's someone who, you know, does something different. It likes to be a little more, hey, we'll have a party or whatever it is, right? So. It's, you know, loving your fellow Christians, but that's part of like getting to know them, right? Because part of being able to love somebody and maybe help them and meet them where they're at is also knowing them, right? And trying to empathize. Go ahead, Debbie.
And I think what she's saying, like the perception is if we're only judging or developing our perceptions from each other based on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, we're getting a very limited view of those people. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see them as the whole person, we need to do better me totally speaking to myself here, getting together outside of this, because you just see the Sunday and the Wednesday people. You don't see the everyday when we cook the spaghetti on the stove and here's a plate. You know, we don't see that.
That's right. So it's, you know, especially if like you're not socializing with people outside and you're not, and sometimes, you know, and I'll say this too. So some people are better with like smaller circles of people and that's how they get to know people. There's all like these personality things you can take, right? And then other people are like really outgoing and can know people and they're very smart that way. Whereas me, like the more I get that way, it's harder for me to remember to take it in or to be able to manage all that. Yeah, it is, and it takes effort. So for someone like me, it probably takes more effort to know where a person is at or that, you know, that type of stuff than maybe others who it's easier for them with that. Now, why is it so important for us to love other fellow Christians? Like, if you were to think, why is that super important? Andrea? That's right. So we all work together. And at the end of the day, if we all work together, we all help each other, and hopefully I'm seeing every single one of you someday, right? In the next life, right? We're all going to be together. So if we can't like get over our differences, you know, it's then you're spending eternity maybe with, so you have to come to love people where they're at, really. So we'll go ahead. I have, let's see, now, yeah, the text might be small on some of the stuff I have, and I apologize. So let me go to Galatians 6. And so this section, I thought this was interesting because I do like to look at the way different versions write or title sections. So this is titled two ways. So the New King James Version is be generous and do good, and the NIV version is bear and share burdens. Okay, and so I felt this was very relevant. So let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Right? Because the greatest command is love. And so it's not just loving yourself, it's not just loving your family, it's loving all people, and especially the people of faith. Right? And there's many verses you could go, whether you Google it or however you look it up or go through, like I like to do keyword searches in my online Bible. There's lots of different verses on how and, you know, loving people. You know, and it's one of those things where for me, you know, it just takes effort. And it's covered a lot in the book. It takes effort. Because even like having people over, right? So it's all the preparation work for that. It's all, you know, taking care of, making sure if anybody has like special needs or something, you know, you want to make sure that you're accommodating to people, and that you're making, but you know, you're making people feel welcome. And so, and then, you know, taking care of afterwards. There's a lot of work, even in the simplest of things. For some people, it's easier, you know. For other people, it's not as easy. But, you know, one of those things, so especially loving the people who are the household of faith. Also, I think about, like, last time, you know, Kat, you spoke up because people are different, right? So different backgrounds, that type of thing. Even people are different outside of here, okay? And if you can't love people who you have a common faith with and we all have a common goal, how much harder then is it for you to then see past people who aren't of the faith and aren't serving God to then meet them where they're at and help bring them along? Because that's what we're supposed to be, is the light outside. It's right. So we have to be strong in here. And then if we don't like each other and we talk to people outside, you know, they'll pick up on that. And what are we demonstrating? So that's one of the things that I thought was pretty important. Okay. So the new commandment, John 13, 34 through 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And this verse, in context, if you think of the timeline and what's going on, so this was after, so they had the Last Supper, right? So he institutes, you know, his memorial for every Sunday, has the Last Supper. He identifies Judas as his betrayer, right? And so they're all, you know, so this is like right after that. So he's still talking to those individuals. And it's really key because, so for me here, so loving one another, right? So you love each other, that's us, loving one another in Christ. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. Right? So it's one of those things, just tying it back, where, you know, if we don't love each other and we don't demonstrate that and we don't help each other out, what are other people going to think? That's part of our example is all loving each other, right? One of the best things here, and we talked about this before, is how people organize and help others out within the church. And there's a lot of it that goes totally unseen, right? Stuff goes unseen. But then when somebody is in need, people will help out, okay? And so that's a great thing, because I know people in other denominations talk about doing that a lot too, and that always like keys in. And so you would want other people to see us being that light, that hey, we do help each other out, you know, here's the things we do, you know, that type of thing. Humbly though, right? Any other insights into this that maybe I didn't see, or any thoughts? Absolutely. Higher standard, right? So that's came, lived the perfect life, gave up his life for us, and that's how he loved us. And that's how we are to love each other and to love our neighbors. Excellent point. Any other points on this? Can you read that for us? I think verse.
I've got the whole King James.
Okay. Which verse are you starting in?
Verse 4.
Okay.
It says, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity does not envy. Charity does not lift itself up. It is not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. Does not seek its own. Is not easily provoked. Does not think evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Charity never fails. So, you have to be kind. You have to be patient with people. You definitely have to be patient with people. Everybody is so different from each other. We all do things differently.
Yes.
That's definitely something that you would expect. You go somewhere like that, and you know, you expect what you expect versus what you get, and that's with any person. So, you know, don't think you're better than everybody else. You know, definitely don't envy everybody else.
right?
I've been studying. Chuck actually took the thunder for next class next week. So far as
I have missed all the love classes. I feel I'm so jealous because I'm teaching. But yeah.
He kind of stole some of the things. But the point that in his sermon where Jesus gives the responsibility to another disciple instead of his other brothers and sisters, he had other half-brothers and half-sisters, he gives that responsibility to a disciple. And in the books that I've been reading to prepare for this class, which obviously Chuck read too, that it talked about that our regular biological siblings are just considered like every other person in the world, right? So there's no other higher standard for biological siblings. But our brothers and sisters in Christ are given a higher status in God's eyes. And that really struck me when I read that part, that Jesus gave that responsibility of his mother to honor her on his dying wish to a fellow Christian or a disciple instead of a sibling of sort. And that relationship to God between us is so important. And I don't think we give it the respect and honor that it really deserves in comparison to our biological siblings. And that really struck my heart when I read that the books that I've been reading on that.
Yeah, and even when, and I forget exactly where it's at, it talks about when he comes to break up families, right? Because you're going to choose. You have a point when you're going to choose. And so, you know, sometimes I see, you know, those of you have grown up in the church and you have family in the church, and so you automatically have those people that are bonded to you in Christ. And then those of us who made the choice outside of our families, it's a little bit different because then you're having to build that new brother and sister relationship because you don't have that, right? Unless some of them come along with you, it's just different. It's different, that bond then. That's, yeah.
The advantage of coming from outside is when it comes up, and for me it's encouraging, will you deny your father and your mother and brother? That's not a question in my head because people who came from the outside, yes, I will. It's not a question like would I do that or would I not do that? And so the people that have always been raised in it, they always have that question. They have that family ties, which is beautiful, and I envy that sometimes because there's just that connection there. And but on the other side, flip side of that, there's an advantage from coming from the outside and recognizing that you don't have to question that in your own life, that you've done that.
Yep. So that is, I mean, it's... to the point, it is where, you know, this love, this should be, you know, the preference. Okay, so a couple more. I've got, I mean, there are a ton of verses. Let's see here. I'll go ahead and read these. I put a little more below. I'm not going to read them. And then we'll talk about kind of what this means to y'all. So 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another, right? So if God loves, I don't know, Dana, he loves you for all that you are and everything you are, right? So the rest of us need to love you for all that you are and everything that you are. Philippians 2:2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And this is talking to the Christians. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. This, again, is talking to Christians. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Put the wrong letter in there. It's okay. I'm human. The one that I bolded, Romans 12:10, in honor giving preference to one another, I have got ingrained in my head, Ross, whenever he speaks. And he's like, we ought to prefer spending time with each other because we are brothers and sisters in Christ together, right? So, and that's what our preference should be, is to be with each other and to be here.
Nobody behind, and if you see a weak sister, we're all
Right. Leave the military, right? It was always leave no man behind. And that's exactly that example. And it's so effective, right? Because then that's showing and demonstrating, you know, with all of us, how important every single one of our souls are and how important it is to bring everybody along and for us to work together and to help each other out. Okay. Any other thoughts on this? Amanda. Right. And so they may make it, now you need to be that light to people,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
But recognize, right? So you think of and I mean people, like, even let's say it's somebody in the church, right? So people can disappoint you. You can put a lot of trust, right? And you can help people out and give them guidance. And people are going to stumble again. It's going to happen. But you might be disappointed in that. Like, hey, why can't they get better at this or whatever it is? I've helped them out. I've brought them along. I've done whatever. But the reality of it is that people are people. And something that may be easy to you may be very difficult to another person. And that's their thing. And that's how they are being tested. That's their thing that they have to work through in life and overcome. And so we need to not judge. We need to be there and help and forgive, even if somebody breaks our trust, okay? And that is really, really hard to do, right? So, you know, just like that feeling that you have with those that they just, you just get disappointed. And I'm sure people who, you know, are older, I'm sure kids at some point will do something. Right? They will. And so you have to figure out how, you know, because how you react could make a difference in whether it pushes them away or whether it helps bring them back in. Because ultimately, it doesn't matter if somebody's making a mistake up to their very last day. They have the opportunity to repent, and you always want to pull them in because you want to, the goal, bring as many people as you can with you. Right? Kat. That's right. You know, and sometimes, and you know, it's kind of like some stumbling is more obvious and evident than other stumbling. Okay? So just because somebody has something very obvious, right, doesn't mean the person next to them doesn't have something. It just may not be as obvious. And then that's part of knowing people too, is because they may not even know that what they're doing is really not right. Maybe it's something that's more socially acceptable or whatever it is. So, you know, to your point, everybody's got that stuff. It's like, what is it and what are you working on? And the first step is knowing what those things are, because everybody's got one, you know. And you don't have to be perfect at everything. Nobody is. But maybe you pick that one thing that's a stumbling block. And, you know, you can have friends help you out, particularly here, because we'll be able to guide each other in the right way. Let's see. And there's some other verses that kind of touch on what you talked about, too, Kat. So, how will I show my love? There's a couple things that are talked about in the book, and I tried to kind of package them and pulled a couple others on the way that I saw that it was being talked about. So some of that, it's what I think is like the emotional and physical support. So Ephesians 4, and I pick both verses 2 and 3, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that can happen. That's all over the place, right? It's not just with us as sisters or brothers in Christ in the church. That's in your marriage. That's in, you know, it's like we're going to have differences on things, right? We have elders who get to make the decision if there's a difference. And then we choose to either support or to not support, right? We have a sister who thinks something different than we do, right? And maybe it's just a difference of opinion. We choose to either have spite towards that or not, and to be like, oh, it's okay, that's what they've decided. You know, because you never really, even when you think you know a person, you never really know everything that's going around them that they're having to balance and make decisions off of, right? And so you can give guidance and you can give suggestions when they ask, or, you know, sometimes you might give some unsolicited, but be careful with that, right? They're going to make a decision, right? And sometimes just asking how they're doing or things like that. So if they want, you know, to get some advice, they can ask or whatever, but like, don't be overly judgy, right? We want to help people, but understand people are in their space. They're going to come how they are, right? Caring for and sharing with one another. So John 13:34, love one another as I have loved you. Romans 12:30, distributing to the needs of the saints. So there's the verses are longer than that, but, you know, it's things like when helping each other out. You know, doing anything you can for one another. And we all have different talents, so there's different things we're going to help with, right? We talked about this before, people who organize, people who cook, you know, people who can donate different things that they have or whatever, right? There's different ways that you can be there for people. Different time, you know, it could just be time. Somebody needs to talk. Could be financial support, could be physical work they need help with. That lending of an ear, hospitality. Right? Give what you can. And you don't have to be asked to give, right? You don't. You talk to somebody else may know, and they say, hey, I got somebody who needs some help with something. Don't even have to tell you who it is, and you could help, right? I think we're pretty good at it. Could we do better? Yes, I could do better. And also without judgment. And I think that goes back to the piece, like, you don't know where people are at. Maybe somebody has to be helped in a way, but they have to be helped in that way multiple times, right? People who maybe come forward for the same thing a lot. It doesn't matter, right? We're there. We need to help them. It doesn't matter how many times. Okay. The next is unconditional forgiveness. So Luke 17:4, and I just paraphrase this one here. So forgiving your brother seven times, right? So this is like, hey, if they come to you however many times, you know, you're supposed to continually forgive them, even if it's for the same thing. This was actually a question in Cameron's lesson today. You know, we're going over it, and I'm explaining it to him, and I explain it like the brother-sister, right? Hey, Lexi comes and does something to you. She says, I'm sorry, but then she comes and does the same thing. How do you feel? Right? So it's like an the way I see this is it's like an it's a unconditional forgiveness. Now, that doesn't mean, so I want to go back to Kat's example. There's another section about, and this is really knowing where people are at, is making sure that you're not being a poor influence because somebody has something that is, I want to say it's like their weakness, right? So if somebody is, somebody's weakness. Let's say somebody decides, and you know your friend decides, hey, I have to save money for XYZ reason, so I've decided I'm only going to go out to eat once every other week. If you keep, hey, do you want to go out and get something tonight? Or hey, next night, do you want to go out and get something tonight? You kind of see how that could be a, right? Or if someone has an issue, right, with alcohol, cat, right? And you're going out, a lot of restaurants we go out to, right? If you ask, you can get a drink. Maybe you might select to go someplace else with that person. Maybe you decide to do something else because that, you know what I'm saying? But it's like you got to make decisions, particularly when you're helping somebody out, around how are you going to be that good influence? And if something is a stumbling block for somebody, and you got to know people, if something is a stumbling block, is figuring out to make sure that you are not, I guess, aiding and abetting, right? Caitlin. That's right. And so you forgive them, but it doesn't mean you trust them with that same thing, right? And so maybe the way you address it is differently, and every situation is going to be different. Even if you think about, so, and this is a touchy subject, so I'll just like, hey, here's what it is. So sometimes people will disassociate with the church. They will decide, that's not what I believe. They'll go to, I don't know, hey, I believe I'm Baptist, whatever it is, but then they're still our best friends, even though they know, right? That's a hard one. Because you don't want to be the person who they can never come back to, but I think we are told that, hey, you do need to, in some ways, chastening with them. They don't get the benefits of this anymore, right? Any thoughts on that one? That's a sticky one. Yep.
She's kind of just, I don't want to talk about it. Don't ask me about it. Don't ask me to church. You know, and it's one of those, like, my parents, they were like, where did I go wrong? What did I do? And I'm like, I don't think I did anything. She's a grown adult. She can make her own decisions. She knows what's right. And I think over time, she's kind of been searching, asking mm-hmm. questions. She's gone some with my brother to church a few times. So sometimes it's one of those, if you've done all that you can do, you know, church, and she's like, no, but at least you ask, you know, you're
right.
Still thinking of them, but sometimes
right.
it's, you don't want to push too hard, to where they just totally harden up. It's like, I don't
yep.
want to deal with it.
And that's because a number of people have to deal with this, right? So Jeff's aunt decided no longer to go to church. She was raised in a church, all that type of stuff. And I think it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, she decided to come back. Okay? I mean, it's a big deal, right? But you have to be very delicate around that situation because the way you handle it, I think, I mean, it could just vary what the outcome is going to be on that. You always, you want to have that door open to bring people back in. It's tough. It's a tough one. Thank you for sharing that. So we need to keep her in our prayers, right? I mean, it's very encouraging that she's gone a couple times with your brother. Let's see. Okay. And let's see if that's... Okay. So, and so, again, showing my love. So being a good friend and respecting each other. So James 5:9, do not grumble against one another. Proverbs 11:13, I like Proverbs a lot. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Right? I mean, some sins are public, and so they need to be repented for public. Some sins are private. Some things that are going on in private. We talked about some things are more obvious than others. And if someone is confiding in you and you're going to help them out, you help them out, and that's where it goes, right? Now, if it continues and you can't, then you have to make a judgment call on maybe pulling the right person in to help out. But still, okay? Proverbs 17:9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. And I think that's kind of self, you know. We're all going to make mistakes, right? But if we, you know, if, hey, I did something to you, but I say I'm sorry, right? But then you go and you tell, like, everybody else, you know, what does that do? And that doesn't help our relationship either, right? That's between us. Okay, that's one of the ways, I mean, just loving your brothers and sisters, you know, and being a good friend, being a helper, being okay with your differences, being okay with the differences that we all have here or the situations that we're in. And then I say this one a lot, and one of my friends is really good at this. If somebody starts, like, telling a story that's not their own, they're like, is that your story? It's not your story. You don't tell that story. That's not your story, right? If it's not your story, you're just repeating, right? So you have to be very careful with that type of thing. And I think that's how you show to be a good friend. Okay. Caring for one's circumstances. So 1 Corinthians 8:13. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Right? This is what we talked about. So you have to be careful and understand. And you have to know each other to know these things too, right? You got to pick up on it. When somebody tells you something, you kind of pick up on the subtle differences of things. And sometimes some of us are good at that and some of us are not as good. Some of us need to be told directly, hey, I'm really struggling with this. So I think, what did Cam... So Jeff is on a diet. He's getting rid of some Christmas weight. I'm with him on this diet. Cameron is like the nicest kid. So if he gets food and somebody else doesn't have the food, he'll always say, hey, do you want some of this or whatever? So to Dad all the time, to Jeff, he's like, hey, do you want a piece of this? Do you want to try this out? And Jeff's like, no, Cameron, I'm on a diet. Stop it. So, but, you know, it's one of those things, two differences. I mean, that's a very simple thing, but, you know, there's other things that people have difficulties with. And just so say, you know, somebody is, you know, and these are things you wouldn't necessarily know, but somebody could be like a shopaholic, or they constantly spend stuff that they shouldn't spend. Probably to go do something with that person, you don't ask if they want to go to the promenade with you, if you know they told you, hey, I got to figure out how to not spend, right? I mean, just simple things like that. And then the other thing, you know, and she didn't cover this, but Colton, when Clayton brought up Revelations 3, I was like, oh wait, we have to cover this, okay? So when we love each other here, okay, you do have to help with correction, okay? Gentle correction, know it, and sometimes I'll do this at work too, okay? I'm usually the one who gets asked to do this. So I'm direct, but I have a way in doing it that is not like making somebody feel bad about themselves. I'm like, hey, I want to help you with this. I want to make sure you understand, kind of here's how you're being perceived when you do this. So I want you to try this for me because I want to see you succeed, okay? But this is where you do, so from a Christian perspective, you do have to help correct people who are in error, right? So Revelations 3:19 was the verse towards the end of the reading he had. So as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And this is like, if you love somebody, right, you want them to come with you. We all want them to come with us to heaven. And if they've got something that is in error, you have got to help them out, even if it's hard, right? Because you love people, it's hard to correct them, right? Kids, whomever, you don't want to hurt them, but you got to do it, okay? You just have to figure out how or when's the right time, or maybe, you know, phone a friend who might be better at it or maybe closer with somebody, okay? And then we have just a couple minutes left, but this is what I want us to really think about is, you know, we've said it a couple times. I know, Kat, you brought it up. So we all have the things that we're good at and the things that we're not good at. So really, you know, takeaways. It's what keeps you from loving brothers and sisters. What keeps you from loving people here? What is that thing? It could be time. It could be you're not socializing. It could be whatever it is. What is that thing? And then how can you improve? So we can either talk about this in small groups, or if anybody has an example they'd like to share, maybe Wilna.
The way you can think about improving is, I always think about everything God puts up with me. You know,
right.
A lot of stuff with me, and yet, just like the prodigal son, the father was looking for him to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. So looking for him to come back. So we all have something we have to get better at, right? Particularly together and loving one another. I know, like you had talked, I think the last one, about things that we, you know, really thinking about us here and what we do well and what we don't do well. This is all interconnected, right? This is about loving each other and figuring out how to continue that love and do what we're supposed to do. Okay. And so Amanda is saying, yeah, so, okay, keep in mind, too, and this always is in my head. So Shauna had done a speech one year. It was like the Shauna Fowler, for those who know her. It was like the seasons of life, where she was covering, you know, Proverbs 31, and she was going through, you know, the characteristics. You can't be everything all at once. Sometimes the season you're in, that is the focus on what you need to do, and you need to do the best you can with that. And the rest of us all need to know and recognize that, and then come to you and ask how you're doing and what you need. Right? You're doing the best with what you have. Okay? All right. Any final thoughts or...
that you love them, and if they ever change their mind, if you ever want to me, I'll be glad to talk with you. You have to let them know that the door is open.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So letting people know the door is open, they can always come talk to you. Okay? Good job. Excellent final thought. Thank you so much, ladies. Really appreciate it.